That's all we need, another nor'easter. They say, the weatherman said, we're going to be measuring this one by the foot, not the inch. So it's going to blast us. It's supposed to start tomorrow night, as a matter of fact. All right, folks. For our final hymn, I got a testimony for you, but we're going to do it after we sing. Let's open up, let's stand for our final hymn and open up your hymnals to hymn number 3. Hymn number 3 speaks about the wonderful words of life. Where do we find them? In the Bible. We better know that.
Yeah.
Wonderful words of life they are.
Yeah.
And we're going to be singing the first and the second stanzas of hymn 3. Praise the Lord for it. Piano sounding good.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of love and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Wonderful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, listen to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Words of grief and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Amen, amen. Please be seated, church. Good singing this morning. I'm so thankful for the words of life we find in the Bible. Words of eternal life they are, indeed. Well, we will sing again afterwards, but let's grab our Bibles at this time, folks. And as you're turning to the book of 2 Thessalonians, anybody need a pew Bible? We have pew Bibles available. We also, Scott, I have a brand new Bible for you.
Me?
You need one, right?
Oh, I got one at home. It's a big fat one, but if you...
No, I mean one that you can take to church. Yeah. It's a giant print.
Giant print. AGB, no less.
Brand spanking, brother.
Oh, God bless you.
Yeah, I meant to give you that last time.
Whoa, God bless you.
I said, I'll get them next time.
Yeah.
Those are really great because it's giant print. I have a giant print that I preach from, and it makes such a difference. Because you can, the words are so clear. Praise the Lord for that. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Crystal, you need a Bible, do you? You sure can have one. I got plenty. One thing we have is plenty. Oh, you need a new one? Yeah, we want to give her a new one.
Okay.
Yeah, there we go. And you can put your name in that, and that's yours now. And when you come to church, you bring your Bible, right?
Yep.
Good girl. All right. And in 2 Thessalonians this morning, church, open up to chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. And before we get to our message this morning, my sister called me yesterday, and she gave me an incredible testimony concerning her 5-year-old grandson, Micah. Micah is the youngest of 7. He's 5.
And Micah went to his mom this week, and he said, "Mom, I need to talk to Daddy, but I'm real nervous about it." And she said, "You don't have to be nervous to talk to your dad. Go up. He's in his office. Go up and talk to him." So little Micah went up to his dad's office, and he said, "Dad, I need to talk to you." And he said, "Come right in. What is it?" And Micah said, "Dad, I don't feel right inside." And he said, "What do you mean? You don't feel good? Are you sick?" He said, "No, but I don't feel right in my heart." He said, "I think I'm under crucifixion." He said, Dad, you're welcome. He said, "Dad, I think I'm under crucifixion." And Matt thought for a second, and he said, "Oh, you mean you're under conviction." So just a second, Al. So he explained to Micah what being under conviction is. That's the Holy Spirit convicting him. And so he explained it to him, and then Matt prayed, and then Micah prayed, and afterwards he said, "Daddy, I feel all good inside now." Isn't that beautiful? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, that little boy understood that he was under conviction by the Holy Spirit. Ellie?
How old is he?
5.
Bye.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much. We'll see you tonight.
Yeah, what time?
6 o'clock. If you can.
We'll try to make it.
And 10:30 on Sunday, so okay. No, you don't have to bring anything. Just your Bible.
Do we have to bring the food?
Nope. We'll have everything. Okay. Bye-bye.
Ellie.
Yeah, you're welcome, Ellie.
I was going to say that Mike's actual words to his dad were, "I feel yucky."
Little Mike, 5 years old, he says, "I feel yucky inside." Folks, isn't that the way we feel when we sin? Feel yucky inside, right? That's the Holy Spirit bringing us under conviction. A 5-year-old child could understand that, right? So we need to learn from that little one that when we're under conviction, we need to bring it to the Lord and confess that and repent of that, right? And afterwards he said, "Daddy, I feel all good inside now." Oh, that's a good one. Praise the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. This morning, beloved, the Lord laid a message on mine heart for you today concerning the Antichrist. And because we are so close to the time of the second coming, we know that the Antichrist is going to come on the scene very soon. And we want to be an educated church. We want to be a prepared church for what's coming down the pike. And we know that the Antichrist is coming. Probably alive right now, somewhere in this world. I want to speak to you this morning on the Antichrist, his rise, his reign, his ruin. Look with me in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Beloved, I want to call your attention to verse 8 this morning for my text. We'll use verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. I want to preach to you a message I've entitled, The Antichrist, His Rise, His Reign, His Ruin. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the incredible passage of Holy Writ before our eyes. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It speaks in great detail concerning that man of sin, that son of perdition, the son of Satan, the devil incarnate, Antichrist. Lord, we thank you that your word gives warning. We thank you, Lord, that your word speaks the truth and warns the world that that man of sin is about to come on the scene. And you must be saved in order to avoid that great tribulation to come. Father, we'd ask you to bless your word today. We'd ask, Lord, that the hearers, wherever they might be, would take heed to this warning from your word concerning Antichrist, that they'd get saved if they're not saved, and that they'd get right if they are saved and not right. And Lord, that you would have your will and way in every heart and life and listener to this message. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, beloved, before I begin my message, let me say this. The books, if you know anything at all about the five T's, that's 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus. I taught in a Bible college out in Western New York, the five T's, one semester. The five T's, particularly 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, there's 8 chapters, 3 in 1st Thessalonians, I'm sorry, 5 in 1st Thessalonians, 3 in 2nd Thessalonians. All 8 of these chapters in the books of Thessalonians speak of the second coming. All 8 chapters. You'll find it in every chapter because the theme of Paul's writings to the church of Thessalonica is the second advent. And right here in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, he hones in on the Antichrist. He gives us great detail in comparing scripture with scripture. We can learn much about this character. Beloved, it is not my intention this morning to frighten or cause alarm to anyone who is here in church or listening to our broadcast on the website. However, it is my intent to expose the truth of Scripture concerning this mysterious, terrible personage that shall be revealed shortly on planet Earth. The Bible calls him Antichrist. He will be the embodiment of Satan himself, because after he is assassinated during the tribulation period, Satan himself will come down from the atmospheric heavens and indwell him and raise him from the dead. This is in the Bible, folks. Now listen to me. He will have satanic power to work miracles, signs, and wonders, and to deceive the whole world, not just a few. The Bible says he will deceive the whole world. He will attempt to usurp the very throne and position of God Almighty. He will declare himself to be God, a very God. Here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we have one of the clearest descriptions of his character and intents in all the Bible. So let's examine this passage this morning and learn about the Antichrist, his rise, his reign, his ruin. First of all, this morning, beloved, I want to call your attention to his title. Look with me in verse 8 again. And notice carefully his title. Verse 8, we read, "And then shall that wicked be revealed." Notice here the capital W, which indicates a title of a specific personage. He's called that wicked. Not a wicked, not one of the wicked, but that wicked. Now, according to God's word, he has many aliases. You know, he loves anonymity. That's how the devil operates, under cover of secrecy and darkness. And so does the Antichrist. He has many aliases in the Bible. He's called, listen, he is called the King of Babylon in Isaiah 14, verse 1 through 7. He is called Lucifer in Isaiah 14, verse 9 through 17. He is called the Little Horn in Daniel chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Daniel chapter 8. Verse 9 through 12. He is called the King of Fierce Countenance. Daniel chapter 8, verse 23 through 25. He is called the Prince that Shall Come. Daniel chapter 9, verse 26 and 27. He is called the Willful King. Daniel chapter 11, verse 35, 6 and 7. He is called that Man of Sin. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. He is called the Son of Perdition. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. He is called Antichrist. 1 John 2, verse 18. He is called the Beast. Revelation 13, 1, 2, 4 through 8. He is called that Wicked. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. But realize, beloved, that all these titles point to one and the same person, Antichrist. They all speak of the same person that is yet to come to planet Earth. Now, a person's title normally describes what they are. A nurse does nursing, like my wife. A welder welds. A plumber plumbs, if you will. The Antichrist is anti-Christ. He is against everything Jesus Christ is for. Okay? Now, the Lord said in John 5, verse 43, don't turn there. Jesus said, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. He was speaking to the Jews of his generation. And he said, the Jews are going to be deceived one day by a false Messiah. And they will believe, they will receive him. Now listen, 2,000 years ago, the nation of Israel rejected Jesus of Nazareth as their Messiah. But when Antichrist, this guy, shows up on the scene, they will accept him. They will believe that he is the real Messiah. In fact, they'll sign a 7-year covenant with him, a peace treaty. And listen, when they do, they will go into the tribulation period through which the Lord will purify and save many. But folks, what I'm telling you this morning is that Israel is in a state of unbelief this morning. Israel will be deceived by this evil personage who is called Antichrist. First of all, that is his title, his rise. But secondly, let's notice his revelation, his reign, if you will. His revelation, look with me back at our text in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 again. The Bible says, and then... That's, by the way, that then is from verse 7, following verse 7. When the bride of Christ is raptured out of the world, we're going up to be with the Lord, meet him in the air, then, verse 8, then shall that wicked be revealed. Notice the wording. He's going to be revealed to the world. All the world will wonder after the beast, the Bible says. Now, here is an irreversible prophetic fact that Antichrist will reveal himself to the world. How? By bringing peace, not just to the Middle East, but to the whole world. There'll be no war during the first 3.5 years. Why? He'll bring worldwide peace. He will have a one world government. He will have a one world religion. All nations, the Bible says, shall be deceived by this man, Antichrist. How is he going to be revealed, though? The question we must ask. Verse 8 says, then shall that wicked be revealed. How? Well, I see one of your 5 ways he's going to be revealed to the world. First, there will come, he'll be revealed by a falling away, a great apostasy amongst God's people. Look at chapter 2 again. Look at verse 3. Verse 3, we read, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, tribulation, shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be what?
Revealed.
Revealed. The son of perdition. Verse 3 makes it clear that there'll be a great apostasy, a great falling away from the truth of Scripture before the Antichrist is revealed. Folks, you know what we're seeing today? All around the world, we're seeing apostasy. We're seeing falling away. Pastors are falling like dominoes. God's people falling away. God's people quitting on church, quitting serving Jesus Christ, falling away from the Bible, falling away from the brethren, falling away from serving the Lord. We're seeing it before our eyes. We know His time is near because of the great apostasy. Now, look with me in first. Hold your place in 2 Thessalonians. Flip ahead to 1 Timothy. Go to chapter 4. I want you to see this. This great falling away, this time period has already begun. Look at it, folks. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit, you know the Holy Spirit speaks? Yeah, He does. Speaketh expressly that in the latter times, we're living in them, some shall depart from the faith. That departure is called apostasy. It's called falling away from the faith, giving heed. Notice what they're giving into. To seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Those are demonic entities that deceive Christians, folks. Look at it. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. They don't feel any remorse for their sin. Why? They're fallen away from God. They can sin and not feel. And you both, listen to me, one of the most dangerous places a Christian can be in is when they fall away from God and they can sin and not feel remorse. Oh, that's a scary, scary thought. But we're seeing it. We're seeing it all around the world. God's people falling away. This time period has already begun. That's the first sign of His being revealed, the great apostasy. The great falling away. But secondly, how will He be revealed? There will be an increase in satanic activity. Back to our text, 2 Thessalonians. Look at verse number, chapter 2, and verse number 9. The Bible says, even him, that wicked, whose coming, see, the Antichrist has a coming, as well as the Lord has a coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Folks, listen to me. We are seeing in the world today a huge increase in satanic activity. You know what the fastest growing church in America is? It's not First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. It's the Satanic Church of Anton LaVey, founded in 1969. Fastest growing church in America. Satanism is on the rise. Folks, listen to me. Witchcraft, Satanism, the occult, the New Age movement, and all the like is on the increase. It's not getting less popular. It's getting more popular. Why? Because of increased satanic activity in the world. Folks, I tell you, I can't even turn the news on at night, Fox News Channel, and not gasp at what is happening in the world. It is absolutely satanic what is happening. And folks, we need to buckle up our spiritual belts and be ready for these last days before the Antichrist is revealed. We're seeing that increase in satanic activity all over the world. What's it mean? It means the Antichrist is about to be revealed. Thirdly, how do we know of his revelation to the world? Thirdly, there will be worldwide deception. Worldwide deception. Look at verse 10. His coming will be with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why do they perish? Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Folks, listen to me. This character, the Antichrist, he's already working on deceiving the world. Why? How do I know that? Pastor, what do you mean? I mean that already most of this world is deceived. Already. He's not even in power yet. And most, do you realize this morning that you are in the minority? Look how many empty pews we got in this church this morning. Why? Because they're deceived. Let me tell you something, church. This church in Hooksett, New Hampshire, should be packed to standing room only. They should be outside the front door in the parking lot trying to get in. You know why? Because we got the truth. Where are they? I'll tell you where they are. They're deceived. They don't want to hear the truth of this Bible. What? Worldwide deception. It's a sign of his being revealed. Fourthly, how do we know he's being revealed? Fourthly, there will be the abomination of desolation. Look in chapter 2 again at verse 3. Look at this. In verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, that the day of Christ, the second advent, shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. You know what that is in verse number 4? That's the abomination of desolation. Listen to me. When the rebuilt Jewish temple in Jerusalem is constructed, the devil, the Antichrist, is going to walk into that temple. He is going to sit himself down on the throne in the Holy of Holies and declare himself to be Jesus Christ. And the world will believe it. Why? The Bible says so. That's the abomination of desolation. Go to Matthew 24 real quick. Jesus spoke of it himself. In Matthew chapter 24, Lord just gave me a verse. In Matthew 24, don't miss this. Daniel spoke of it. Jesus spoke of it. Paul spoke of it. John spoke of it. Over and over and over in the Bible, you see it spoken of. The abomination of desolation. Watch it. Verse 14, Matthew 24, 14. And this gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of grace, what are they going to be preaching during the tribulation period? The gospel of the kingdom, the thousand-year kingdom that Jesus Christ is going to set up. The age of grace has ended. Now they're preaching this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see, who is Jesus talking to in Matthew 24? Is he talking to the church? No, he's not talking to the church. The church isn't here. He's talking to Israel, his elect nation. Watch. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. He said, get out of Dodge quick. Because when that Antichrist goes in my temple and sits himself down and declares himself to be the Son of God, you better look out, because all hell is going to break loose on planet Earth at that time. That is the midpoint of the tribulation period. He will commit the act of desolation, abomination in the temple of God. He'll break the covenant with Israel, and he will begin beheading Jews in Jerusalem. Folks, this is really serious stuff. The abomination of desolation, fortunately, the church will not be here for that. We'll be raptured out before it takes place. This is how he'll be revealed. Fifthly, how will he be revealed? Fifthly, there will be a worldwide prevalence of sin and evil like never before. Look at verse 7, back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at verse 7. Sin and evil will abound. Verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity, sin, doth already work. Only he who now letteth, that's hinders, will let until he be taken out of the way. We believe that's the Holy Spirit that is hindering the sin from its full force in the world. Drop down to verse number 12. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, the gospel, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Why? Why did they choose unrighteousness and sin over the truth of the gospel of grace? Why? I'll tell you why. Because of the worldwide prevalence of sin and evil today. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that the world out there is swallowing up sin, hook, line, and sinker. The devil's having a field day, and sin is prevailing all over the world, even in the church. We need to be on guard. Oh, we need to be on guard, folks. We need to be sanctified. We need to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be in prayer and in scripture study and be right with God in these last days. I'm telling you, the time is short. Three times in this chapter, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the word revealed is used in reference to the Antichrist. He'll be revealed. He'll be revealed. He'll be revealed. And we know that his revelation is certain. But look at chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 for a moment. Look at verse 7. Paul says to the believers in Thessalonica, "And to you who are troubled, persecuted, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Notice here in chapter 1, verses 7, 8, and 9, that when Jesus Christ comes back, he's coming to punish the world. Why? Because they obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you know that the gospel demands obedience? I'm not talking about obedience. I'm not talking about keeping commandments, folks, for salvation. I'm talking about obeying the command of the gospel, which is what? Believe. The gospel says, believe this. And if you refuse to believe it, you're not obeying the gospel by believing. You see, that's why he's going to take vengeance on them. Because they refuse to what?
Believe.
It's just that simple. All you have to do is believe the gospel. You'll be saved. That brings me to my final point this morning. We've seen the Antichrist rise and his titles. We've seen his revelation, his reign. But notice with me, thirdly, and most importantly of all, his ruin. Notice his ruin. It's found in our text. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." His ruin is sure, because the Bible says that when the Lord from heaven, Jesus Christ, comes down, he will consume and destroy him. Don't you know he will? Beloved, I've got good news in closing this morning. Yes, the Antichrist will rise to power. Yes, the Antichrist will reign the world for 7 years. But yes, the Antichrist will be ruined by our Savior, the Christ, the Lord Jesus. Beloved, the doom of Antichrist is certain. And God wants his children to know that we are the real winners in the scope of eternity. We win, church, because of our Savior. Martin Luther told of how the devil appeared to him one night and threatened to kill him. Luther took his inkwell and threw it at the devil. And then he sat down and wrote these words: "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper he amidst the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. But one little word shall fell him." One little word out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus shall fell him, Luther wrote. And he understood, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that our Savior will ruin that Antichrist when he comes back. In closing, I see two ways that his ruin will come. First, he shall be consumed. Look at verse 8. "Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth." Listen to me, beloved. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes down at his second advent, when he opens his mouth, the Antichrist is going to be consumed by what's coming out of his mouth. You know what comes out of the Lord Jesus' mouth? Every one of you have one in your lap. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And when Jesus opens his mouth, Antichrist receives the knockout blow. He's going down and he's not getting up. I'm so glad that the Spirit of Jesus' mouth will consume that Antichrist. Listen to me. Jesus Christ our Lord shall consume him and all his followers. Why? Go to Hebrews. Hold your place again. Flip over to Hebrews real quick. Let me show you why Jesus is going to consume him. You know that the devil, the Antichrist, the false prophet, they don't stand a chance against our Savior. Let me show you why. In Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 29. For our God is a consuming fire. You know what? You see these flamethrowers? I got a flamethrower. That's pretty impressive, you know. That'll burn you up quick. But imagine the flame coming out of the mouth of the Son of God when he comes down. Wow! You almost feel sorry for the devil. But no, we won't go that far. He shall be consumed. That word in the Greek, consume, it only appears twice in the scripture. Here and in our text in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. The Greek word is analisko. It means consuming entirely by fire. And it's always associated with the Lord coming down from heaven. Wow. Listen, first of all, how shall his ruin come? First, he shall be consumed. Second, he shall be destroyed. Go back to our text. Notice the wording here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 again. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's an everlasting destruction coming to the Antichrist. And it's coming with the brightness of his coming, the Lord Jesus. Now listen to me. How shall Antichrist be consumed? By the spirit of his mouth. When shall Antichrist be destroyed? At his coming. Look at it. Verse number 8. With the brightness of what? This is so good. His coming! He's coming, church! And when he comes, he will destroy that man of sin, the Antichrist. He'll be destroyed by the coming. And notice the wording in verse 8. By the brightness of his coming. Do you realize that Jesus Christ is the light of the world? And in him is no darkness at all. He's bright. He's light. He is righteousness. And when Antichrist meets him, he will meet his doom. He'll be destroyed with an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord at his coming. The last three words of verse 8. Let's see his ruin in closing. I want to show it to you. Go to Revelation 19. We'll finish up here. In Revelation chapter 19, let's see it go down. In Revelation chapter 19, here comes the Lord. He's going to rescue the Jews at the end of the tribulation period. And all the tribulation saints, the believers. In chapter 19 of Revelation, look at verse number 10. And I fell at his feet, John says, to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, it's an angel, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness does he judge and make war. He's coming to make war, church. He's not coming to die on a cross. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Where'd he get those crowns in verse 12? From you and me, guys. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, crying with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come, gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. 19. And I saw the beast. Who is the beast?
Antichrist.
And the kings of the earth. Who are they? All his followers and their armies. Gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse. Stupid. Stupid. And against his army. That's you and me. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive, kicking and screaming, and with their boots on, into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. 21. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Here is the ruin of Antichrist. And all those who follow him. Beloved, the ending is very ugly. But I'm here to tell you we're on the winning side. Sadly, the multitudes of planet Earth will be deceived by this man, Antichrist. Why am I preaching this message this morning? Because I want to warn as many as I can before the Antichrist come that they be not deceived. If they find themselves in the tribulation period without food, without water, and the Antichrist says, take my mark and I'll feed you, don't do it. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. Worship Jesus Christ, even unto death, and thou shalt be saved. Oh, beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning, it's a serious message. The Antichrist, his rise, his reign, his ruin. On June the 8th, 1948, in Luxembourg, Belgium, an agreement was signed which founded the EEU, European Economic Union, or European Common Market. There are currently 21 countries in its membership, and it's still growing. Their ultimate goal is to have a one world government, one world currency, and one world leader. Jacques Chirac, in 1995, then head of the EEU, declared, and I quote, give us a man who can lead us into the 21st century with world peace, and we will elect him, even if it be the devil himself. Those were the words of the leader of the Economic European Union. They said, give us a man that will bring world peace and we will elect him even if it's the devil himself. Well, folks, I've got news for you this morning. They're about to get exactly what they've asked for. The devil himself in human form. The Antichrist will bring world peace. They will elect him. They will bow down before him and they will receive his mark because that's what they want. They don't want the Lord Jesus Christ. They want the false Christ. It will be a false peace that will be broken. But I've got good news. Go back to our text. In closing, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, here's the good news. I gave you the bad news. Now here we have the good news. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But, I love that but. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord. Why? Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Folks, he's saying you who have believed have something very special. You have sanctification through the Spirit of Christ in you, and you now have belief of the truth, that saving faith. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning. Oh, for the butt of verse 13, we thank you, Lord, that we have received thy Holy Spirit, we are thereby sanctified, not by any works of our own. We are sanctified by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, period. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit is our sanctification. We thank you, Lord, that he's clothed us with the robe of righteousness, even the righteousness of God. We thank you, Lord, that he, the Holy Spirit, has washed us in regeneration from all of our sins and given us a new spirit within. We thank you, Lord, that we have believed and received the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are not deceived. We know the truth. We know God. And we love Jesus Christ. We love the truth of grace. Lord, our prayer this morning, Lord, the church has so much room to fill in. Lord, our prayer is that folks from all around this area would come to this church, not for us, Lord, but to hear the truth of the Word of God, that they might be saved before that man of sin comes, the Antichrist, before it's too late, they find themselves in the tribulation period, before there's no more food to eat, there's no more supermarkets, there's no more water to drink. Lord, before there's no more money to spend, I pray that some, under the sound of my voice, will come in simple, humble repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross and be saved, be born again before it's too late. That's my prayer this morning. In Jesus Christ's name, the people said, amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. We will sing one in our time of invitation. I'm so thankful that everybody in church this morning I see is saved already. But perhaps the Lord's laid somebody on your heart that we need to pray for. If so, the altar is open. Feel free to come pray for that lost soul. Indeed, oh, how we love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. Let's open up to hymn number 67. Hymn 67. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ paid it all? Yeah, yes, indeed, brother. That's right. We couldn't pay it in a million years. We couldn't pay it. But Jesus paid it all. We'll sing the first, second, and fourth. Ah, yes, indeed. We'll stand. And folks are already at the altar praying. Indeed. Oh, thank you, Lord. Maybe you just want to thank him that you know the truth. Hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. Oh, to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Thank you, Lord. Yes, indeed. Now, indeed, I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's heart and melt the heart of stone. Jesus, win it all. All to him I owe. Sin that left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Ah, yes. On the fourth. Think about it. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus, will it all. white as snow. That's what we are, beloved brethren, this morning. Because of his blood, he paid it all. Oh, what a blessing. Brother Scott, I'll ask Scott to dismiss us in prayer. Don't forget tonight, if you're able, 6 o'clock, we'll be celebrating the Lord's table tonight. Brother Scott.
Lord God, thank you for this day, Lord. It says in your word that sufficient is the day, the evil thereof. Let's not worry about tomorrow, but thank you for today, Lord God. And thank you for the sermon. And thank you for the preaching power of the pastor as he prays with conviction. Lord, thank you that I found this church and that we be dismissed. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, folks.